So thank everybody for coming out tonight or this morning. We're going to continue through the book of John. John chapter number one. Again, there's most of the stuff is put on the internet. It's there for you if you want to hear something again, or if you missed something, you want to hear it. Go on the website. Check out also the pictures of everything going on and around here and trying to get everything done. And, Lord willing, like I said, anybody wants to come up and help move an air conditioner and a baptistry in, we're very thankful for that. We do got some other things that we'd like to get done, but you know, we're going to get done what we can get done. And then Miss Barbara Tim will have to leave, and then maybe next year at this time we'll have them back, whatever else we want to get done next year. So we'll see, and maybe we'll have some people here want to step up and help us out. But hopefully we'll have most everything done between now and when they leave that we want to get done. Just have a few lingering things. So do pray for those things and pray for all this stuff going on. And so turn with us to John chapter number one. John chapter number one. Let's just pray real quick. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day and the opportunity to preach. I pray that you would just move in the services tonight, this morning. I pray that you would touch hearts. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Lord, thank you that you came to this earth, Lord, died on an old rugged cross, Lord, for my sins, Lord. Lord, that you shed your precious blood to wash away my sins, God. Thank you, Lord, that you willingly laid down your life. Lord, no man could take it, God. You are God. You could have healed yourself, come off that cross, Lord, in an instant. But you stayed up there because you loved us. And Lord, just I thank you, God, for how good you have been to me and my family, how good you've been to this church already, God. I just pray that you would now move on the service. Help us this morning as we preach your word, God. May hearts be encouraged. May sinners be convicted, God. And just do something great. Help my throat this morning, God. I pray that you would just touch it, Lord, to help it feel better. Lord, get through this service. May you get all the glory and honor, Lord, for everything that transpires this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
John chapter number 1, starting in verse number 15. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him then, What then? Art thou Elias? He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? John, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloosen. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that had sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth
with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John's got a wonderful record here. Jesus told him, we talked about it last week, I think it was. Jesus himself said there's not a greater risen among men than that of John the Baptist. But even John said, I am not worthy to even loosen the latchet of his shoe. Listen, we're in a proud, prideful generation that people won't humble themselves down. People think, I don't have to humble myself before an almighty God. But one of these days, you'll stand before God, or you'll kneel before God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning, are you going to do like John and humble yourself down on this earth? Or are you going to wait till that great white throne of judgment, stand there before God and be right before you're cast into the lake of fire? Listen, John said, first off, John's witness is, he is preferred before me. Verse number 15 says, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So listen, John made it be known. Listen, John and Jesus, they were cousins, or their mothers were cousins, and they weren't that much apart, about 3 months. 3 months or 6 months, I can't remember now which one it is. They were just a little bit apart. But John knew there was something different. John knew that there was something special about him. He said, he may be younger than me. He may have been born after me. Listen, age is just a number. We put a lot of stock and emphasis on age. And unfortunately now, my generation, I can understand why we put a lot of stock and thing on age. But just because somebody's younger than you doesn't mean that you can't show them respect. Doesn't mean that you can't be respectful to them and be nice to them. Listen, I'm all about one of my pet peeves. One of the things that I stress, and as we get into this, if you'll hang in here with me, one of the things that you'll see that I stress very importantly is manners. I say sir and ma'am to the least of them, all the way up to, listen, if you get offended at that because you think, I'm not old, I don't want to be called ma'am. And it's not about age, it's about respect. Whether they're 5 years old or 85 years old, it's respect. And John knew that, and he said, I'm going to respect this man. Listen, I've got this ministry built up, people coming out, Pharisees coming out to see him. But you know what? This man's preferred before me. God is preferred before any one of us. Jesus is the only begotten Son. He was before us. Verse number 15 tells us, turn over to Revelation 22, tells us about Jesus. He was before me. John acknowledged that. Revelation 22. He's preferred before me because he was before me. Revelation 22, verse number 12. And Jesus talking, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's out of Jesus' own mouth. He is God. He was God in the flesh. He wasn't just some great prophet. He wasn't just some man that walked the earth. He's not some God, and we're all going to, one of these days, we'll all be able to extend to Godhood. No, Jesus is God in the flesh. We're His creation, and we're to humble ourselves before an almighty God. He is preferred before us because He was before all of us. He was before Adam. He was before Eve. He is the creator of this earth. The Bible makes that very, very clear. I heard Brother Steve Goldsby, dear man of God, we couldn't have him out here because he'd run every one of you off because you think I'm bad. He's 10 times worse than I am. Brother, I love Brother Goldsby. Brother Goldsby, I don't know if he came up with it or he heard it from somebody else, but he made the statement many, many years ago in a revival meeting at our home church. He said, you've got one of two options with Jesus. One of two options. Either he was the biggest, bravest lunatic that ever walked this earth, because there's no doubt history proves that he existed. So either he's the biggest, bravest lunatic that ever walked this earth, claiming himself to be God, or he's exactly who he said he was. Yes. And one of these days, yes, you're going to stand before him and give him an account if you've not put your faith and trust in him and had your sins washed in the blood of Jesus. See, that blood is very important. A lot of people don't realize it, but that blood is of the most importance because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus, that blood is God's blood. It wasn't man's blood like ours. He was the incorruptible seed.
incorruptible. He could not be corrupted. He could not sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, but he was not sin. He did not sin. He took that beating that we well deserved for us. Because he's before all of us. And he loved us that much.
He's preferred before us because he's before me. But he's blessed me. Let's turn back over there to John chapter number 1. Verse number 16 says, Of his fullness have we all received. Listen, you think God's not blessed me this morning? Listen, you're here this morning. You're breathing. You may even have some kind of health issue. But listen, if you're here this morning, you're not saved. God's blessed you. Because you've got the ability this morning to hear the gospel, to hear the truth of the Word of God, and be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, lived and abided forever. You have that. You're blessed this morning. Man, if you can get up and walk, if you can get up and move your arms, you're blessed this morning. If you're breathing this morning, you're blessed because you've got the opportunity to hear the truth. He said of his fullness have we all received. James chapter number 1 tells us, James chapter number 1, verse number 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift that you get. Listen, I said it in the back, I don't remember when it was, in the article in the paper. I said, it amazes me that when everything's going great, nobody gives God any credit. When everything's going good in people's life and God's taking care of you and blessing you, most people never think of it. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. God expects you to give thanks for the good things and for the bad.
That's right.
Because the bad things, let's see, this morning when I've been sick, thank God for it because it makes me know when I get better, I'm going to be able to preach a whole lot harder, a whole lot meaner. Listen, we've been blessed. Every good gift comes from above. Listen, people say, God, when the tragedy hits, bridge up in, I think it was Minnesota, it's been several years ago, back in the early 2000s, there's a bridge up there, a big bridge collapsed. Most of you probably remember that, or you can look it up. And everybody came out on TV, I remember it. Same thing with 9/11. When it happened, why did God let this happen? Listen, they never gave God a bit of thanks in their life. They never acknowledged God in their life. But the minute a tragedy hits, they want God to bless them and want to know why God allows this to happen. You never give God any kind of credit. Listen, I know that sometimes preachers get up, and I probably said it myself, get it, listen, go give your heart to the Lord. I'll take all your problems away. That's not true. It's not true. And I don't know what people are saying, but it's a misrepresentation. It's not true. Even if you give your life to the Lord this morning, listen, if you're in debt, guess what? That debt's still going to be there.
Yeah.
If you're having marital problems will still be there. But God will be there with you through those things. Those problems that seem so big, man, they don't seem like hardly anything anymore. They don't. Our problems don't disappear. We just got somebody that's extra special. A friend that's going to get closer than a brother. That helps us get through all those things. Your problems ain't going to disappear. God, that will take away any addiction you've got in your life if you give it to him. God, take away that addiction to alcohol. God, take away addiction to drugs. I know my wife can give you her testimony this morning. My wife was a drug addict and a drunk when she got saved. She's never looked back in these last almost 16 years now. Be 16 years, so I know. Yes. 15 years, this November. 15 years, this November, be 19 years for me. My wife has not looked back. She never had to struggle with it. She went down to an altar and gave her life to the Lord. Listen, it doesn't mean all our problems are going to disappear. It doesn't mean we're never going to sin again. But God will take the big sin out of your life. God will take whatever it is. Listen, I tell people, God does not save you in your sin. He saves you from your sin.
Yes.
We're not perfect. We still mess up. The book of John tells us that. Some people look at it and they think, well, there's a contradiction in there because John says if we sin after that we receive the truth, that we're there running the double sacrifice. It means there's nothing else we've got to do. All we've got to do is confess our sin. And he's faithful just to forgive our sin. It also says
talking about sinning, it's talking about habitual sinning. Look at me, what would y'all think of me if I told you I'm a preacher this morning and I go out and drink every day? You think that's crazy.
Yeah.
But somehow we think that people in the church don't have to hear about something. We think, well, preacher ought to have to, and I agree, preachers ought to have, there's a certain standard that preachers may not have, that we ought to hold to, and we ought to have. But listen, the same standards, the same things I'm supposed to abstain myself from, the same things you're supposed to abstain yourself from. God didn't take away all your problems, but he'll sure help you out through a lot more. Man, I'm telling you, you can ask my wife.
You ask Miss Barbara, they'll tell you. Spider calling up my Bible. Just glad it wasn't a serpent, man. Joe would have got his wish. We'd been here snake handling. Listen, their problems still come our way. They still do, but we've been blessed. I tell you this, you know, we haven't really made it known that much. My wife told it a little bit, and some of them knowing here. We came up this year. We had the best year. Listen, we struggled on deputations, people trying to raise support so we can get out here. But God taught us a lot of things through that. Last year, churches stepped up in a mighty way because we had to close on our house. It was an extra $6,500 to close on that house and everything we needed for that. Churches stepped up in a mighty way. It ended up hurting us because it threw us into the next tax bracket. So we come up at the beginning of this year. Well, there's another one. I'm afraid to put that up in my face. We came up again this year, filed our taxes, thinking, okay, well, we're going to be okay. And they came up, said, called my wife up, the accountant that we used, said, man, I've got some bad news for y'all. Said, y'all owe $3,000 in taxes. My wife, you know, it tore her up. She called me. We was up here working. I said, baby, it's going to be all right. I said, God's going to take care of you. That's all. I mean, that's it. She's like, but babe, I said, God knows we ain't got it. We're trying to do better. We're trying to dig ourselves out of a big hole. We've learned that sometimes you just got to do without. And we have through the years, but we're really learning that even now. And so sometimes you got to do without. But I said, God's going to take care of it. And we just began to pray and pray and pray. One of our support churches, the pastor called me out of the blue. He said, brother, he said, God's laid on my heart. He said, I know there's something that you need. He said, what is it? He said, I know, you know, you want some help with the church and stuff like that. He said, but God's laid on my heart, there's something that you need to tell me. I'm going to tell you what, I thank God for some men of God that are sensitive to God. And I thought, man, I said, well, if he can, you know, just help us some with this $3,000 bill. I said, brother, I said, we got hit hard with tax. The new tax laws changed, and we got hit hard last year with the new tax laws. And he said, well, how much is it? I said, well, with everything, it's about $3,000. He said, okay, brother, I'll talk to my men. And that was on a Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday night, he texts me after church. He said, call me, brother, call me. I called him up. He said, He said, brother, I'm just amazed at how good my people want to be and how good they are at following God. He said, I told them what was owed. And what was owed, he said, my people immediately stepped up. We're going to send you $5,000 to pay your all of your tax bill and give you a little bit extra to do whatever it is y'all want to do with, which is going to pay for the girls' schoolwork and for our tax for our vehicles. But that's just how God is. You know, that problem was still there. God took care of it. Don't sit there and listen to the devil this morning and have him talk you out of being saved. There ain't a person in this building or in this world that's worth dying and going to hell for. Not one. And it's not worth holding on. Listen, some people may get on to it. There's not some false profession that never did anything for you that's worth holding on to. Well, I made a little profession when I was 40 years old. Listen, if you still doubt it, you need to come up to this altar. You ought to get it settled in your heart. It's not worth dying and going to hell. Don't think because I'm just saying it. Paul himself mentioned it several times in his ministry. Mentioned it in his Word of God. You can go through there. He says, unless you have believed in vain. If the great man of God, Paul, had people in his ministry that made false professions, that didn't get it settled in their heart, that weren't saved by God's grace, how do you think it's going to be in our day and time with the devil even more deceiving people? It ain't worth dying and going to hell over something
that you're holding on to, or because somebody, I don't know what they'll think of me if I go up there. I'd rather be serving the Lord. I'd rather get it settled in my heart and know I was going to heaven. There ain't nobody in this room. I love my wife. I love my kids. There ain't none of them worth dying and going to hell for. He's preferred before me because he was before me. He's blessed me. He's also, verse 18, he's also the only begotten Son. Verse number 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to believe in him this morning because he's preferred before us. He's God. Listen, God loved you. You know, we've heard this said. God loved you so much that if I was the only one to get saved, God still would have died and would have went to the cross and died for me. That's not true. I believe God loved us enough that if nobody was going to ever get saved, that's real love. Real love, the book of Corinthians tells us, doesn't think about any of those things. It just does what it's supposed to regardless. Listen, you want your marriage to work, regardless of what your spouse does, you do what you're supposed to. That's what real love is to them. That's what real love is for God. Whether he knew anybody was going to, and he is God, and he knew all that, but real love says that God would have went to that cross knowing nobody would have given their heart to him, knowing nobody would have been saved. He loved us. Laid down his life. They could not kill him. He laid it down. Let me move on first, really quick. Number two, he's preferred before us. He's preached before me. Or he's preferred before me is what John said. He's also preached before me. Verse number 19 says, and this is the record of John, which the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Long before John was ever preached about, Jesus was preached about. Number one, he was preached as the Redeemer. Job chapter number 19. Job is a really good book in the Bible. Job's the oldest book in the Bible, they say. I know the other one, you know, Genesis and all goes back before it, but Job was the one that was first pinned down long before Moses wrote down the others. Job chapter number 19. I love what Job says here. Job 19, he's going through all this and everything else. But Job chapter number 19, verse number 25, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. See, these people that say, well, they didn't know. They didn't really know what we know. You're right. They didn't know exactly everything we knew. They didn't know exactly the church and those types of things. But Job says right here, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Job knew Jesus was going to stand on this earth as the Redeemer. And he was Job's Redeemer all the way back, before John was ever preached, all the way back to the book of Job, the earliest book of the Bible, as far as written down goes. Job knew that his Redeemer liveth, and that he was going to stand upon this earth at the latter day. Job knew that. Number two, he's preached also as the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Job knew him as the Redeemer. The children of Israel knew him as the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Do you know that? A lot of people get mistaken. Listen to me. Maybe you do this morning. Maybe you don't understand. A lot of people mistake why Moses didn't go into the promised land. The reason Moses didn't go into the promised land was because that rock was Christ. Okay? God told Moses to strike the rock the first time, which is a picture of his death.
See, the Bible tells us after that we don't have anything else. He's not going to continue to be sacrificed. That's why we believe the communion's in remembrance of him. Because he's not going to be continually sacrificed. He told Moses the second time to go out and speak to the rock. Once you've been saved, you can't get saved again. You just go out and confess your sins. It's a picture of Christ. And so when Moses smote that rock, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, when you try to get saved again, and try to say, listen, I know. You say, well, you just said it's all that's possible. But listen, it's better to get it set on your heart and know. But it put Christ to open shame, is what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. When you think that you can renew yourself afresh, when you think, well, I'll just, now if you're doing that, what it's saying is, if you're out here, if you did get saved, and you go out and you do a bunch of worldly things, because we can make mistakes. And you say, you know what, I'm going to get saved again. That way, you better think, I'm good. You're putting Christ to open shame. That's what Moses did.
That's right.
That's why Moses didn't go into the promised land. Because he put Christ to open shame when he smote that rock the second time. We don't put Christ to shame. We're not to smite him the second time. When you get saved and you go out and sin, I said it a minute ago, there remains no more sacrifice. We're to just confess our sins, and he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why Moses didn't go to the promised land, because he smote that rock the second time. Moses, the meekest man in the earth, still got aggravated by his congregation. Just keep that in mind. Meekest man earth, still got aggravated by his congregation. Y'all be blessed. The book of Hebrews also tells us that in Hebrews chapter number 13, I think it's verse number 11, obey them which have rule over you, as them that they must give an account. Let me say it right. I want you to know, because I'm not trying to be, I don't want to be a dictator, but I do want you to be as respectful. I try to be as respectful to my pastor. Hebrews chapter number 13, it says, it's not that, let's see, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. See, a pastor must give an account to God for you. It says that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. See, you may cause me some pain, you may cause me some grief, but it's unprofitable for you, not for me. I have to give an account while I'm the pastor of this church for the way things go and the way things I handle things. And I'm going to give an account as far as telling God, which He'll have it all there in front of us, the way you acted. But it's not profitable for me. It's profitable for you to obey. I don't believe in dictator, but I do believe in pastoral authority. I'm not here to dictate to people. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. You go out and live how you want to. It's between you and God at that point. I can't make you live right. I can't make my daughters live right once they leave my house. But while they're in my house, they'll submit to my authority and they'll live according to what we say and what we do. Some people say, well, you just don't understand. I do understand. When you start letting that child run your household, you're in for a world of trouble. He's priest. He's the Redeemer. He's the rock. Isaiah 53. Very, very important passage in the Old Testament. He's the Redeemer. He's the rock. Isaiah 53, though. Who hath believed our report? Starting at verse number 1. Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing. There was nothing physically attractive about the Lord. He was not no great big man that people were drawn from him to him of those things. God made him of no reputation. God made him of no beauty, no form or comeliness. He wanted people to be drawn to the Lord for him and who he was. That's it. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He's the Redeemer. He's the rock. But he's rejected. He was despised and rejected of men,
a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Your sin, your transgressions, the way you live, Jesus took that upon himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
He shed his blood. There's power in the blood. And it amazes me, you know, that, listen, just reach that word, but it's gone. Listen, me and my wife was talking about this yesterday, I think it was Friday. God doesn't answer to the laws of nature, the laws of science, the laws of physics. They answer to him. Because he wrote them. He's the one that wrote gravity. That's why he can defy it. He's the one that wrote the laws of physics that I can't just walk over this wall and walk right through it like he can. But he can because he's God.
Amen.
See, that's what we forget. We think, well, God can't do that. Okay. Wait a minute. You're putting God in the box.
That's right.
You're putting God in the box. When you say, well, God couldn't do that, God can. Yes, he can. God can do anything he wants, except for he cannot sin.
Amen.
He cannot tell a lie. And there's not a sinner on this earth that he doesn't want to see saved.
Amen.
He wants you to be saved this morning. He was rejected of me. Ripped, the flesh ripped off of him. Crown of thorns platted upon his head. His finish was more marred than any man. You couldn't even hardly tell him was a man. Flesh, the only thing that was hanging there was his bones and his meat. The flesh was ripped from his back, from his gut, all that. He did all that because he wants to see you saved. He wants to see you die and go to heaven and live with him. He does not want anybody to die with him.
Yes.
He was rejected of him.
Yes.
For you and I. He's preached before John ever was. Last of all, he is the Lamb of God before me. He's preferred before me. He's preached before me. He's the Lamb of God that's before us. All the way back there in the book of Exodus, when God gave Moses the Passover, it was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was symbolic in many different ways that it represented God. That when he sees the blood, apply it. Go Passover. He is the Lamb of God. The Bible says in the book of Peter and the book of Revelation, he was slain before the foundation of this world. God, this is not just plan B. This was just plan A. He knew before the foundation of this earth that he was going to die for you and I. And he already listened. There's no doubt in my mind. He is God. He knows exactly who's going to be saved and who's going to reject him. But I don't know that. That's why I'm here preaching. Because I want to see every one of you in heaven with me. I want to see every one of you give your heart and life to the Lord. And if you are saved, and if you are saved, listen, I'm not going to come to you because I'm going to get a lot of people out here on the Lord's church. But if you are saved, you ought to be willing to give your testimony.
Amen.
You ought to be willing to say, preacher, let me tell you about when God saved my soul. I've heard their testimonies many times. I've heard my wife's testimony many times. I've heard my pastor's testimony. I've heard many people. Listen, y'all don't be ashamed to tell us. He's the Lamb of God before you. Y'all be willing to say, let me tell you when God saved my soul. I was 18 years old. I want to say enough that whenever somebody come in here, you can say, hey, let me tell you about my pastor's testimony. He was 18 years old. He was raised up Methodist. He was a drunkard, already started drinking, already had a filthy mouth, doing a lot of things in the world. And in November 2000, on a Sunday night, God changed his life.
Amen.
God cleaned my mouth up.
Yes, sir.
God took away the desire to do those things. 18, I thank God, because if I had not got saved at 18 years old, I don't know if I'd be alive today. Because I was already, my brothers, I love them, and they were pretty bad, but I started doing a lot of things long before my brothers ever did. My oldest brother, I love him to death. He didn't even start drinking until he was 21.
He waited until he was 21, long before I ever hit that already started, long before I hit 18. So I know God had saved me. I've been out in the gutter somewhere. Who knows where I've been. God has saved me this morning. God has saved you this morning.
He's the Lamb of God before you. Number one, here it says he saves sinners. Romans 3:23. Let me get through this real quick. We'll close. Romans 3:23. See, he's the Lamb of God before you. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you are not good enough this morning to go to heaven. You think, well, I've not really been that bad of a person. I believe when I die, God's going to weigh my good against my bad. And that's how I make the heaven. Let me ask you a question this morning. If let's say this morning, I came across a car wreck and I saved five people from a car crash. And the car crashed, it was engulfed in flames, and I saved five people from that car crash. But this evening, I went and shot one of your relatives just because. Would you think that my good outweighed my bad? See, that's a hypothetical. Listen, that's the same way you look at it. When you try to say my good against my bad, it doesn't matter how much good as you do, your bad's always worse. See, the Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. There is pleasure in some of these things. Then it runs out. See, the Bible says, lust, when it had conceived, bringing forth death, bringing forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. There's LSD in the Bible. Lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. See, there's pleasure in those things for a while, but every bit of sin leads to death. That's why people say, well, this doesn't lead to death. Yes, every sin, that's one of the markers you can tell something's sin. Will it lead me to death? You say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with fornication. What happens when you fornicate enough? You're going to catch something that you plan on. So what happens? You say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with drinking a little alcohol. What happens? It works at your liver eventually. It's going to bring forth death. See, you may not even do it that way. You may be drunk going home and kill somebody. Listen, I don't know if they were there then. I know my wife was. We see a guy. I don't know if he was saved. He didn't make a profession. He was young. But the week before he died, drunk in a car crash, he sat at our home church and acknowledged, raised his hand, that he was lost. And he could have just been so backslidden that he was, but I don't believe so. I don't believe the man never got saved. A week before he died, he realized, raised his hand one Sunday morning and said, I'm lost. I pray for me. That's my pastor. That Saturday night, he died in a car crash drunk. You may not get next Sunday. Your sin may take your life between now and then. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're all sinners and we're all in need of saving. I'm not trying to get you to doubt this morning. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. I'm just preaching what the Lord said. We're all in sinners and needing saving. Have you ever bowed your knee before God, admitted that you're a sinner, and asked for God to save you? Because the wages of sin is death. And you'll spend that death in an eternity in the lake of fire. See, hell's just a holding cell. Hell's the same for everybody. All those that die without Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man lifted up his eyes. The rich man died also and lifted up his eyes in hell. Immediately. So as he closed his eyes on this earth, he opened his eyes in hell. Get it for him. There's nobody in here. There's nobody in your life who would have died and go to hell. Behold, he's the Lamb of God before us because we're just sinners. We're needing saving. Hebrews chapter number 9, we'll close with this. Hebrews chapter number 9. That's good timing. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 24. We all have a soul. Behold, the Lamb of God, he died to save our souls. God didn't breathe into cats. God didn't breathe into dogs. I love dogs. I love cats. I love fish, especially when one's on the other end of my rod and reel and hook. But God didn't breathe into them the breath of life. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. See, they made the tabernacle down here on the earth. Christ didn't enter into that tabernacle. He entered into the tabernacle in heaven. This is where people don't understand some of these things. That's what I'm here to do. I'm going to lead you right through it. If you don't see it the same way, just pray about it. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. That tabernacle here on earth is a figure of the true tabernacle in heaven. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Christ doesn't have to offer himself often. He did it one time for the sins of the whole world. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's right. It's appointed unto men once to die. Every man, woman, and child, it's appointed. And you don't know when that's coming. Got up this morning, feeling miserable. On the internet, went on Fox News this morning, and 20-year-old actor died Friday night in his sleep. Had a seizure and died, 20 years old. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look unto him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He is the Lamb of God that's before you this morning. He shed his blood to wash away our sins. That blood had to be shed. It wasn't just a little pinprick. He had to shed every bit. When he gets stabbed in the side and forthwith came out blood and water, that was symbolic that all of his blood was gone. All of his blood was out. He had to shed that blood for you and I. He took that beating on the ground, and he took that on the cross, the cruel cross, because he loved you this morning. He loved you then. He loved you before the foundation of this world. Are you going to continue to reject him? Are you going to put your faith and trust in him? Believe in his sacrifice for your sins. Let's all stand this morning. The altar's open this morning.